ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ కిరాట హునా ఆంధ్ర పులింద పుల్కష అభీరా సుంబా యవన మెంబర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఖాసర్ రేసెస్ అండ్ ఈవెన్ దోస్ అడిక్టెడ్ టు సిన్ఫుల్ యాక్ట్స్ కెన్ బి ప్యూరిఫైడ్ బై టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ డ్యూ టు హిస్ బీయింగ్ ద సుప్రీం పవర్ ఐ బెగ్ టు ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబిసాన్సెస్ ఆన్ టు హిమ్. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. So this is a long purport and very, very instructive. So need your attention. Kirata, a province of old Bharat Varsha, mentioned in Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India. And in modern days, the Santal Parganas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise of the old province named Kirata. Huna. Prabhupada is explaining each of those tribes or the nations. So we will go through each of them and then Prabhupada will give the purport explaining this. So next is Huna. The area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of a hill tribe is known as Hunas. Andhra. A province in southern India mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. It is still extant under the same name. Pulinda. It is mentioned in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 174.38. The inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhima Sena and Sahadev. Sahadev is from the five Pandavas, Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas. And it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharata. And the inhabitants were classified among the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahmanical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechas. Just as those who are not followers of Islamic cultures are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abhira. This name also appears in Mahabharata, both in the Sabha Parva and Bhishma Parva. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of Arabian Sea. And all the inhabitants of that province were known as Abhiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhishthir. And according to the statement of Markandeya, the Mlechas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India. And on behalf of Abhiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Abhiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahmanical culture. But they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas who were afraid of Parshuram and had hidden themselves in Caucasian hilly region. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki Jai Shri Taram. Gaur Nitaya ki Jai. The Kshatriyas who were afraid of Parshuram and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly region later on became known as Abhiras, and the place they inhabited are known as Abhira Desh. Next, Sumbhas or Kankas. The inhabitants of Kanka province of old Bharat mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Jayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahmanical culture, they became Mlecha Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas are in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 85.34. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The Western Yavanas joined with Duryodhan in the Battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It is also foretold that these Yavanas are also would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Khasa. The inhabitants of the Khasa Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata, Drona Parva. Those who have stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called as Khasas. As such, the Khasa are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human being if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Sukadev Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of the world is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a change in the world. There would be a great change in the world situation by purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Sukadev Goswami began his prayers by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even the Kirata, etc., as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low-born, or women, Shudras or Vaishyas. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home, back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of the heart. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahmanical culture. The system of caste or Varnashram is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system. Nor is it possible now to re-establish the institutional function in the present context of social, political and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted to the Vaishnava cult, spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So by the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all people willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive, without any particular bias for the custom of the country. The Vaishnava never accepts another Vaishnava on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of a deity of the Lord in a temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord, who is all-powerful, Prabha Vishnave Namaha. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotees in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple, similarly the body of a pure devotee, pure Vaishnava, changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained to be a qualified Vaishnava. The injunctions of a Vaishnava regulation in this connection runs as follows: Arche Vishnav Shiladhir Gurusu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Shri Vishnur Namani Shabda Samanya Buddhi, etc. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol, nor should one consider the authorized spiritual one should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol, nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man, nor should one consider a pure Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste, etc. Padma Puran. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can, under any and every circumstance, accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than Varnashramites. And he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord, who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. Thank you everyone for your attention. This is a really, really beautiful purport by Prabhupada. We'll chant our prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vano Bhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsa हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणे। हरे कृष्ण एवरीवन, थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग द सेशन टुडे। I'm not qualified to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam or sit on a Vyasasan, but I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas gathered here so that I can render some service for your pleasure and for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So, in response to Parikshit Maharaj's question about the creation, Srila Sukadev Goswami has invoked the name of Krishna, and is glorifying Krishna, because that glorification of Krishna can purify the heart of everyone, irrespective of their caste, creed. So that blessing has been invoked by Srila Sukadev Goswami, because if somebody thinks that the mercy of Krishna is suitable for people who are in the highest stratum of society in terms of piety, then they are minimizing the glories of Krishna. That means that Krishna's name and quality is not powerful enough that it can eradicate the sins of people. If somebody thinks that it can only eradicate a pious person, then that means Krishna's mercy is not that powerful. But Srila Sukadev Goswami has explained upfront in this chapter that by invoking the names of Krishna, his remembrance, it can eradicate all the sins of the heart and purify anyone from any race. So that is something Srila Sukadev Goswami has mentioned in this chapter at the beginning of explaining the process of creation, because that's very important. And if you look at the traditional Indian society at that point of time, because of the degradation, the Brahmins, they would not give initiation from anybody who is not from a Brahmin caste. So they would only give mercy to those who are in the Brahmin caste. And if somebody is born in a Shudra or a lower or outside the Varnashram system, they would also not be allowed in the temple because it will contaminate. They were not given a chance to chant the mantra because it will pollute and contaminate the entire system. And so that was a condition of the people who are not in the Brahmana class. So so the Brahmins had actually degraded the whole system of Krishna consciousness by this practice. So this is where Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he took it upon himself that he wanted to give the mercy to the lowest of the lowest. Why? So that this will glorify Lord Chaitanya, who's come in this age to purify everyone. He's called as the most munificent avatar, because he's giving the mercy to the lowest of the low, and he's bringing them up to the highest standard as a pure Vaishnava. So this story of Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai were in Navadvip, they were the most corrupted people. They were raping women. They were burning people's houses. They were plundering their wealth. There is no sin that they have not committed. And so that was a condition. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu chose him as the right recipient of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because they were the most fallen at that time. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu transform their heart to make them into a Jagadananda and a pure devotees of the Lord. And even to this day, we glorified Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the mercy they gave to Jagai and Madhai. So that is the hope. So that is the genius of Nityananda Prabhu, that how he could break this tradition that was going on in the Brahminical culture and give this mercy to all the fallen people. But this aspect of giving mercy, that mercy of Krishna is available to everyone, is not restricted to only Lord Chaitanya's pastime. If you look at Lord Ram's pastime, when he was in exile in the forest, the first person he met was who? Anybody can remember? The first person he met and made him intimate friend? Anybody? So that was a tribal king called Guha. Now, Guha was part of a community, a tribe, a jungle tribe called Nishad. They were actually an outcast. They would not be allowed into a city. Okay, they are supposed to be away, outcast of the Vedic society, and nobody will interact with them. So Lord Ram chose him as the intimate friend, and he gave him profuse mercy, and he helped him, Lord Ram, proceed on his journey. So that is the intimate friendship that Lord formed with Guha and gave him profuse mercy. Next, if you hear the story of Jatayu, now what to speak of humans not in the Varnashram, or fallen human, here is a bird, and Lord Ram, he actually gave mercy to Jatayu because he was rendering loving devotional service, and he tried to save Mother Sita from being abducted, and he fought and he gave up his life. So Lord Ram actually, in the Vedic tradition, when the son dies, when the father dies, the son lets the fire, that conducts the last rites. So Lord Ram took that position as a son of Jatayu and offered the last rites and sent him back to Godhead. So that is the mercy of Lord Ram, that he did not consider, oh, he is a fallen, he's not even a human, why should I give him mercy? He's a bird. And then if you look at, in contrast, if you look at Ravan was a Brahmin and he knew all the Vedas. But Lord Ram did not see all of that. He was looking at what is the guna and karma of the person. And because of his activity, heinous act of trying to abduct Mother Sita, he was punished and killed by Lord Ram. So that is the contrast. And if you look at, he also gave the mercy to all the Vanars and made them as an intimate associate of Lord Ram, and they helped him. In fact, if you want to become, I mean, Lord Ram made Hanuman the emblem of devotion for all time to come and for everyone. Hanuman, if anybody wants to take the shelter of Lord Ram, the first he has to do is pay his obeisances and respects to Hanuman, who is actually a subhuman, in order to receive the mercy of Lord Ram. So this mercy of this access of Krishna's mercy is unique and is throughout the Vedic culture, all the Vedic texts. It's not something unique that Lord Chaitanya has created. It's there throughout. And it's very much integral to the Vedic culture. But that has been lost. And if you look at Lord Krishna, Putana, who was a Rakshasi and wanted to kill Krishna, but she rendered some service. She had a desire. She wanted to give milk, which is poison, but it doesn't affect Krishna. Krishna saw that she wanted to render some service. And he elevated her to the position of a mother in Golok Vrindavan. So how merciful. This is the Vedic culture, that this mercy of Lord Krishna is available and accessible and is meant for everyone. And Lord Chaitanya, he expanded it further without limits. He wanted to give it to everyone. And this is the mood. And Lord Chaitanya chose our Srila Prabhupada to become the founder acharya of this ISKCON, which is spreading the name and fame of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. If you compare Srila Prabhupada with Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu may have spent few minutes with Jagai and Madhai. But here is Srila Prabhupada, he spent an entire year in Bavari, which are full of Jagai and Madhais. He spent his 1 year in a society of Jagai and Madhai for over a year. And until people started taking an interest and started to follow his instruction, so gradually they took up Krishna consciousness, chanting, reading Prabhupada books. But it was not easy. His life was threatened. And he was, his valuables were stolen. He had a return ticket. At no cost, he could have gone back to India. And Sumati Murarji, so many other devotees were waiting to make arrangements for Prabhupada in India. His life would have been so easy. But Srila Prabhupada knew that his Guru Maharaj has given him instruction of spreading this message, giving this mercy all over the world. So Srila Sukadev Goswami is actually glorifying Lord Krishna, that his mercy is so amazing that it can purify everyone. The Kiratas, Phunas, Pulindas, Pulkasha, so many tribes. But actually, if you see, Srila Sukadev Goswami is glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Because it was Srila Prabhupada in the whole history of humankind who went to these places and gave this mercy to all of these people and elevated. He actually did it. He actually did it. So one of the things that we as devotees can do is read this purport, read this translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada to understand what is it that we're trying to do, what is this parampara, what is our tradition, what is our culture, and how do we serve Srila Prabhupada. So this will be a great service to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas if we just study this purport and meditate on it. Because this is unbelievable what the process of Krishna consciousness can do for anyone in this world and to elevate them. And if you look at the history of the past times of Lord Chaitanya, the only people who are against Lord Chaitanya's preaching or is spreading his, chanting his holy name were the caste Brahmanas. They are the ones who objected to this chanting and they are the ones who complained to the Qazi. So, and Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that for those people, for these Brahmanas who are obstructing, he took sannyas. Because he knew that this caste Brahmanas, because of their egoistic nature, they will bow down to only those people who are higher than them in the Varnashram system. So that is why Lord Chaitanya took as sannyas, so that they start bowing down to him, because sannyasi is higher than Brahmana. So that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that you see. And even in his own movement, he accepted people who are from material consideration, from a lowest, from as an outcast or lower in the society structure. Like he made Haridas Thakur, who was born in the Muslim family and it was considered an untouchable. He made him the Naam Acharya for the Yuga Dharma. Then Vishakha Devi, she came as Ramananda Rai, as a Shudra. And when Lord Chaitanya met him in the banks of Godavari, he embraced him and he was shedding tears of love and he soaked his body with tears of his love. But the Brahmanas who were saying, they were absolutely shocked. They said, how can a sannyasi touch a Shudra? It's so contaminating. Why is he doing this? So, but Lord Chaitanya, to show that, set that example, that this is our culture. This is how Krishna consciousness needs to be done. So that was Lord Chaitanya accepting so many devotees who are not from the higher caste as a pure devotee. So that is a precedence that is set for all of us to follow. So we as Vaishnavas, we can... Prabhupada actually invokes this particular shloka which we just read. So this this Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse, Arche Vishnav Shila Dhir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Shri Vishnur Namani Shabda Samanya Buddhi, etc. So, what it says is that we should not have a material vision in spiritual subjects. So, a deity is made of a stone. Okay? From material point of view, it is stone. But by the power of Krishna, that becomes the Satchidananda Vigraha. That is the power of Krishna. So one should, although from material perspective it is stone, but it is no longer just a stone because of the power of Krishna. So similarly, from a material vision, a spiritual master may look ordinary. But because he is a representative of Krishna, he is no longer ordinary. He is to be worshipped as much as Supreme Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopala Nanda Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. And similarly, a Vaishnava, he could be from a lower caste, or he could have performed several sinful activities in his past. The moment he accepts Krishna, the chanting of the Krishna's name, and a devotee as a spiritual master, he should no longer be considered as a whatever he was in the past. He is a Vaishnava. So that is, and there are so many examples in the Shastra. Like Valmiki Muni, he was a murderer. Mrigari, he was a hunter. And they, by taking the shelter of Narad Muni, they became such a pure devotee that even the learned Brahmanas and Sadhus, they read the scriptures written by Valmiki Muni, the Ramayana. So that is the power. Similarly, Narad Muni, who is the guru of so many great personalities, in his previous life, he was born as a Shudra. And by good fortune, he started serving the Bhakti Vedantas, the great devotees, and eating their remnants. And he became such a great devotee as the spiritual master of the whole universe. So that is another example of how Krishna consciousness or association with the devotees, taking shelter of a devotees, transforms people's life. So the lesson for us is that never consider any Vaishnava from a material point of view. Although materially whatever we see may be true, but the difference is they taking shelter of Krishna and his pure representative. So that is the transformation, and that makes the whole difference. Although materially it may seem apparent that it is lower, but it is actually higher because of their taking shelter. So I'll take a pause, and today is also a very auspicious day. Today is Mahashivratri, which will be celebrated all over India and all over the world. Lord Shiva is the... There are two dimensions to Lord Shiva. One is the general conception that he is a great demigod and he is Asutosh, who easily fulfills our desire. But there is another dimension, which is that he is a Vaishnavanam... Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. That he is the greatest of the devotees of Lord Krishna. So when we... Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that Krishna doesn't mean alone Krishna. Krishna means his incarnations, his paraphernalia, and his devotees. So when you... The worship of Krishna is complete when we worship his devotees. And that is why we worship Srila Prabhupada and all other devotees, great devotees. So similarly, the Vaishnavas, they worship Lord Shiva as the greatest of devotee. Position of Lord Shiva is very unique in the pastimes of Krishna. In all the holy dhams you see of Krishna, there will always be a temple of Lord Shiva, because he is considered as the Dwarpal, as a gatekeeper of this dham, to kick out people who are not eligible to be there. And he's doing wonderful service to Lord Krishna. So we can read, I just want to read one purport and translation by Prabhupada, if that's okay. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, Text 30. I'll read the translation. You are the devotees of the Lord. Now this is Lord Shiva saying to Prachetas. You are the devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am, Lord Shiva. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, it is said, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of the Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. Very clearly. In Vrindavan, there is a Lord Shiva's temple called Gopeshwar. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani or Durga as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7.20, it is said that generally people who worship demigod for some material benefit, kamesteritarjnana, driven by material lust, they worship demigods. But a devotee never does so. So, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asura worship Lord Shiva, takes some material benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. So continuing on. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, the devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Naam Apras that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara for Shiva are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Ram, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? So, if a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. So that is the position. So generally, devotees do not outwardly like worship Lord Shiva. Like in the temple, we don't have Shivratri. And the explanation is given, I was hearing Giriraj Maharaj speaking, and he was explaining that the reason we don't do it is because people will see that, oh, these devotees, ISKCON devotees, they worship Lord Shiva. So I can also worship Lord Shiva, and they will ask for material benefit. And then they will start thinking that Lord Shiva is the same as Lord Krishna, because these devotees of ISKCON, they're worshipping Krishna, and they're also worshipping Shiva. So that will create a misunderstanding. So that is why we do not outwardly worship Lord Shiva on in our temples. But in this community of Vaishnavas, we can always glorify Lord Shiva wholeheartedly. Because he can give us the entrance into Vrindavan. And if we pray to him, he will give us the mercy of attaining Krishna service. So that is a good fortune, and he is easily pleased. So this is a great hope to advance in a Krishna consciousness on this very auspicious day of Mahashivratri. Mahashivratri is actually in the month of Falgun, the fourth, in the Krishna Paksha, the 13th or the 14th night is the Mahashivratri. And why it is so special? Because this day, Lord Shiva marries Parvati on this day. So that is the, and it is said that Lord Shiva personally is present directly in his Shivalinga on this day. So the devotees offer milk, water, Ganga Jal, and bay leaves to worship Lord Shiva. And it is recommended in Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should fast on this day to receive the mercy of Lord Shiva, so that we can advance in our Krishna consciousness. So anybody who would like to fast, they can do so. They can maybe follow Ekadasi fast if they cannot do a full fast. But that is something that is recommended in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that this is how we can purify ourselves and please Lord Shiva to attain the mercy of Lord Krishna. So I'll just take a pause here, and if there are any questions or comments. Prabhuji, you said first. Mataji, sorry.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Shiva, he was also a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. one time, when Lord Ramachandra was lamenting very bitterly after Sita was kidnapped, Lord Shiva happened to pass from there with Sita. And he saw Lord Ramachandra, and he became so attracted, and his mood was so much in awe and reverence and affection for Lord Ramachandra, seeing him lamenting so bitterly. And so he said to Sati that behold the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how wonderful he is in his pastimes. So now Sati, she wanted to test him to see whether he was actually God. So she took the form of Sita, and she went to Lord Ramachandra, and she said, "Oh, why are you lamenting? I am here." But Lord Ramachandra did not pay any attention to her, like she didn't exist, and he was still lamenting for Sita, and Sati kept trying to get his attention in the form of Sita. And Lord Ramachandra finally turned towards her and said, "Mother, why are you here in the forest? Why aren't you with your husband, Lord Shiva?" Although she was in the form. So she felt ashamed and she left. She went back to her husband. And Lord Ramachandra asked, Lord Shiva asked her, "So did you go to Lord Ramachandra?" She says, no, everything is okay." She lied. But then Lord Shiva used his mystical power, and he saw exactly what had transpired. And so he thought, now she took the form of Sita. I cannot see her anymore as my wife. Now I will respect her as my mother. So from then on, he would sit opposite her, not next to her. The woman is supposed to sit on the left of her husband. But from that time, Lord Shiva always sat opposite and accepted her as his mother, as his guru. So Sati, she knew that this was taking place in his mind, and she was not very pleased. And she says, "Oh, he's looking at me like his mother." So when she went to Dakshas, to her father's sacrifice, and she left her body, partially, mainly, she did it because she wanted to give up this body and take birth again and be his wife.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for wonderful pastime.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you want to say?
Yeah, it's the question is about Lord Shiva. He's a guna avatar as well, isn't he? And they asked me, because he's sort of in between the tattva of Vishnu tattva and Jiva tattva, he's got his own unique position. But they asked me, somebody asked me, is he eternal? And as far as I can understand, the guna avatars are not eternal. Only Lord Narayan is. Can you clarify that, please?
Yeah, so in that regard, we can read from the Brahma Samhita this beautiful verse. I'll just read the translation. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the actions of acid, but yet the effect of curd is neither same nor different from its cause, that is milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is transformation of the performance of the work of destruction. So Lord Shiva is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. So the comparison is given that he is, Lord Krishna is compared to a milk and Lord Shiva is compared to the curd, and because of his coming in contact with the acid, in this case Maya, he's been transformed. Krishna is transformed because Krishna never touches the material nature. It is Lord Shiva with his wife Durga who represents the material nature. So that is the position of Lord Shiva. So his position is unique. He is not Vishnu Tattva, and he's in between Jiva Tattva and the Vishnu Tattva. And he is eternal in between the material and the spiritual world. He takes incarnates into guna avatar as part of the creation. And the guna avatar may go back to Lord Shiva, his source. But they are eternal. The Lord Shiva is eternal. He may expand as a guna avatar at different times and then wind up his pastime and go back, is what my understanding. Anybody wants to add or correct? Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, not so much to give you an answer, really. Just to kind of add to the complexity of this whole thing. With Lord Shiva, right? In Bhagavatam, right, you know, like, okay, he's referred to as Mahadev, as a Deva, and we know that the second offense, he's referred to as a demigod. At the same time, he's also, like you said, non-different from Lord Vishnu, right? Like, milk is to curd. So is it not so much we can figure out his tattvas, that he will present his tattva in a different way to us based on our level of consciousness? So for people coming into Krishna consciousness, he's recognized as demigod, just to make it clear that he's different from Krishna. But then, like you said, when Giriraj Maharaj is saying that in confidential association, then we realize that he's not just a demigod, he's something more. Because even the way he presents himself in the cosmos, like you said, he impregnates material nature. That means he's actually beyond the material nature. But then he also comes into the material nature, you know, as Rudra, you know, when Lord Brahma gets angry. So it's almost like he's allows himself to be perceived according to the level of consciousness of the people who are trying to understand him. So, but then, because then you look at like Advaita Acharya, and he's also like Bhakta Avataram, right? Avatar, which means incarnation of the Lord. That's higher than a demigod, right? Lord Shiva, you know, Sadashiva. So that means his tattva is, it seems to be like different based on you know, what aspect you're looking at. Just add that.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, Prayojan Prabhu.
The guna avatars, like Lord Brahma, he changes. It can be another person.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
In the creation. You know, at the time of creation. And it occurred to me that actually the guna avatars, he could be he could come under the jiva tattva at the time of the new creation, and that it may be somebody else taking the position, as it can be with Lord Brahma. So it's still not that clear to me that he's Vishnu. The only one that I know is Lord Narayan. He's definitely the Vishnu Tattva. I'm still unclear on his position, that it could be somebody else becoming Lord Shiva next time round, you know. So I'm not sure on that basis.
Prabhuji, we discussed earlier that Lord Shiva has his own tattva. So the jiva cannot take the position of a Shiva tattva, because we are not that. So that's clearly established. Do you agree with that, Prabhuji? So just like at the beginning of creation, Lord Vishnu takes the guna avatar of mode of goodness, in the mode of goodness, Lord Shiva also takes that guna avatar in the mode of ignorance. So just like in the time of winding of this material creation, Lord Vishnu goes back into his original form, Lord Shiva also goes back to his original form. So there is definitely a separation. Brahma, who is the jiva tattva, that position is taken. That's a post that is occupied by different people. But Lord Shiva, his own incarnation comes and he takes the position of a guna avatar. And just like, because he's a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. He's same as Lord Krishna. The only difference is he's been touched by the Durga Devi or Maya Devi. So, and he is accepting that position. So Krishna is accepting. You see it this way, that Krishna is accepting the position of guna avatar. It is Krishna who is accepting. It is Krishna who is transformed into Lord Shiva. So it's a transformation that is taking place. It's not a change of identity, change of the principle or tattva. It is Krishna who is taking the position of Lord Shiva. Like, take the example of milk turning into a yogurt or curd. So it is Krishna who's come as Lord Shiva. So that is the why his position is so unique and his worship all over the world. And even by the devotee. Does that clarify, Prabhuji? Thanks, Prabhuji. Mataji, you want to say?
I was going to say that his position is also because in
yes.
the spiritual world, he also has his...
Sorry, Mataji, I'll come. In the spiritual world, he also has an eternal abode, like Mount Kailash is not just in the material world, it's in the spiritual world as well. So it's not like Brahma, where, you know, a different personality takes on Brahma's role. Brahma is like a title, you know, like a position that different souls can come in. But Lord Shiva is an eternal personality. Yeah.
Thank you. Mataji, please.
Thank you. For a devotee, when we pray to Lord Shiva, because he's one of his qualities is that he is extremely kind and merciful. It's very, very kind personality. When we pray to him to help us in our Krishna consciousness, he does exactly that. Mm-hmm. He really is helping the devotee to advance in Krishna consciousness. As a devotee, not by asking him material things, but please help me. You are Gopeshwara. You have such closeness with Krishna, you know, so please help me to advance and learn how to love Krishna. And he helps in that.
Very good point, Mataji.
That's how we worship Lord Shiva. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he visited the temple of Lord Shiva, he paid his prostrated obeisances and cried because he respects him as the highest Vaishnav.
Yeah.
Parvati is massaging his naked body with oil. She's 16 years old and extremely beautiful, the most beautiful woman in the whole universe. And he does not get aroused. Prabhupada on time said, can you do that? So he's a very, very wonderful personality to worship as a Vaishnav.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
And I wanted, Prabhu, excuse me, wanted to say, you said that Lord Ramachandra performed the rites of Jatayu, and he didn't see him as a common bird, and he did. So what are we to think then, that every time we see a dead animal, we should perform their funeral rites, or there was something special about Jatayu?
I think there was special about Jatayu.
Yeah.
Because we only hear Lord Ram performing the last rite of Jatayu, not other animals.
Right.
That he saw.
Because he was a devotee.
Yeah, he was a devotee. That is why. So that is the difference in our life, you can see. The moment anybody comes in contact with Krishna, he is not to be seen ordinarily. That is the difference. That changes everything for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. My question sounded a bit manipulative, and I'm very sorry.
Hare Krishna.
But there's so many devotees getting in these causes of protecting animals of this and that, and dogs and cats and that and this, and that's like, you know, I mean, we do love animals and we do see the spirit soul, and we don't want to eat them and we don't want to abuse them, but we don't want to start following them like they are our gurus or something, because, yeah.
Yeah, I think Lord Chaitanya also took care of so many animals as he was going through Jharkhand forest. So devotees, if they come in contact with animals, they will also benefit, because devotees eat prasad, so they can give them prasad. They chant Hare Krishna, the dog, animals can hear. So it's okay as long as it's within Krishna consciousness, principles of Krishna consciousness. And just on the mercy of Lord Shiva, I just want to say one last thing before we close. I'm sorry, we've gone over time. Is that in my own life, when I was a small child, I had a younger brother. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And I was attracted to Krishna. But he is the one who came into Krishna consciousness first. And he became a devotee. And I was like clueless. I became atheist. And he is the one who transformed me into a Krishna devotee. At least trying to be devotee now. So this is the mercy of Lord Shiva. So my brother worshipped Lord Shiva and he became a devotee of Krishna. Better than I could do directly worshipping, having some attraction for Krishna. I couldn't become. And I had to take his mercy to become a devotee. So all glories to Lord Shiva, all glories to Gopeshwar Mahadev, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.